One of E.L. Doctorow's first jobs was as a professional reader. He read a novel a day, then summarized it for Columbia Pictures. Eventually, E.L. Doctorow began writing his own novels, Ragtime, Loon Lake, World's Fair, Billy Bathgate, among others. For today's Intersections, our series about artists and their inspirations, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg interviewed E.L. Doctorow on stage at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington.
The public interview was part of an agreement with his publisher to, in Doctorow's words, sell some books. He has a new collection called Sweet Land Stories. But selling stories meant interrupting the novel the 73-year-old Mr. Doctorow is writing.
And I keep thinking of those poor people suspended in time, waiting for me to come back. I really do have that feeling. They're absolutely real to me. I've been neglecting them for 3 weeks, and they're sort of like they're frozen.
In Washington, not writing but talking, E.L. Doctorow spoke about what inspires him. Once, in the early 1980s, it was a nighttime stroll in Lower Manhattan. A heavy fog was rolling over the island.
And the first thing it did was cover, uncannily enough, the World Trade Center. And then it covered all the great Wall Street glass skyscrapers from the 1960s. And gradually the fog sank lower and lower and lower till all you could see, all I could see, was the 19th century structure of the city, all the low buildings of Soho and Lower Broadway. And I felt as if I was walking in the same city that Melville had walked in, and Poe and Walt Whitman.
The experience inspired Doctorow's novel, The Waterworks, set in 19th century Manhattan. So, a walk in the city was inspiration for E.L. Doctorow, and so was music. Actually, not this music. This music, as you will hear later, was a signal to stay away. But the man who would receive the National Book Award, 2 National Book Critics Circle Awards, the Pen Faulkner Award, and the National Humanities Medal, knew pretty early in life what he wanted to do in life.
I was about 9 years old, and I decided I was a writer. And for many years after that, I didn't really think it was necessary to write anything to prove that I was. But I was reading constantly everything I could get my hands on. And you know, at that age, something else happens if you're going to be a writer. You're reading for the excitement of it and to find out what happens next, just racing along. And then another little line of inquiry comes into your head. How is this done?
In a way, Edgar Lawrence Doctorow was destined to become a writer. He was named for one of the great authors he read so voraciously as a kid, that great 19th century American master of the macabre, Edgar Allan Poe.
The fact that I was named after Poe, I thought about that for a while, and for many, many years. And a few years before she died, I said to my mother, "Do you realize you and Dad named me after an alcoholic, drug-addicted, delusional paranoid with strong necrophiliac tendencies?" And she said, "Edgar, that's not funny."
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore.
In addition to Edgar Allan Poe, the young E.L. Doctorow tore his way through swashbucklers, westerns, cowboy stories, and a book about the Alamo.
And this is the way the reading went on, indiscriminately going to the library and picking up books I had no right to read. I found a wonderful book with a title that fascinated me. It's called The Idiot by someone named Dostoevsky. And so I read that, and that's the way it went.
At home in the Bronx, there were lots of books. Not much money, it was the Depression, but lots of books in the house and lots of music. His father ran a small music shop, and Doctorow's mother was an excellent pianist.
We listened to records all the time, and Boogie Woogie on one day and Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony on another. But when my mother was feeling so oppressed by the rigors of our life, she would sit down at the piano and play Chopin. And if she was really upset, it would be the Revolutionary Etude, which is a really wild piece. And every time I walked in the house, I heard that, I would turn right around and walk out. I think at a certain point, the difference between music and music and music and words became elided in my mind. And I became attentive to the sound of words and the rhythm of sentences in some way that I wasn't even aware of.
Dr. O listened to Rags while he was creating Ragtime, his 1975 bestseller. Here's how he writes about that music. Small, clear chords hung in the air like flowers. The melodies were like bouquets. There seemed to be no other possibilities for life than those delineated by the music.
These days, I probably listen to less music than before. I seem to appreciate quiet, and when I'm writing, I like to seal everything off and face the wall, and not to look outside the window, so that the only way out is through the sentences. Quiet and through the sentences. Listen to that music, or try to hear it.
E.L. Doctorow. Sweet Land Stories, his first story collection in 20 years, is full of sentences like this, a 15-year-old bride's reaction when her husband gives her a negligee that is three sizes too big. Quote, Jolene could take it back for exchange, of course, but she had the unsettling thought that as Mickey's wife, all that would happen in her life to come was she would grow into something that size. I'm Susan Stamberg. NPR News.
Excerpts from Sweetland Stories and City of God, along with audio of E.L. Doctorow discussing being rejected by magazine publishers, are at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.